All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Hi, I'm Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal. You are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We're glad to have with us here the mayor of the city of Erie, Joe Schember. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor.
Hi, Joel. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Glad that you're here. We have the chief of the city of Erie Police Department, Dan Spizzarni. Chief, good to see you, sir.
Great to see you.
All righty. Thanks for coming on with us here. Mayor, you know, we wanted to have a chance where we could chat about, you know, what the reality of what's happening on our streets. But if I put it in a nutshell, ask both of you gentlemen, Are Erie streets safe?
I believe there are some streets that are more safe than others.
Okay.
I don't know that you can just absolutely in the middle of the night consider any street every street safe, though. Yeah, you do have to be careful and plan. I'm being curious to see what Chief Dan would say in answer to that.
What do you think?
I think overall we're a pretty safe city. Yes.
Yeah. Good. I mean, when we compare cities of our size to overall either violent crime, crime against people, or property crimes, how do we measure up on like a 30,000 foot view? Are we safer than typical or what?
We're in a typical.
We're typical
for a lot of the crimes. There's you know, there's cities and towns much smaller than us with a homicide rate much higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though we do have our share, it's down. There are cities that are a lot worse, so I take that away. But overall, thefts and general crimes were average for our size city.
There used to be a narrative that in Western Pennsylvania was kind of, you know, more, you know, just kind of less than the average national crime statistics. But something has happened, it seems like, around the pandemic that has has driven more violent crime across the country. And are you seeing that? Did you see that the pandemic had a negative effect on criminal activity here in Erie overall?
Well, with the pandemic, our calls for service went down because people were staying in, the bars were closed, we weren't having those fight calls. But people were also feuding with each other. And
a lot of
the
domestics,
assaults,
huh?
And
wow.
Domestics were going up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was tough to police at that time, too. You know, at the very beginning, we didn't know a lot about COVID. People were afraid to get involved. We were trying to keep our distance and contacts. And the crime rate, we definitely saw a spike because of COVID.
Did you? Oh, during COVID. Okay. It came back up. So let's get started with this. And I think the biggest thing that people talk about is juvenile crime, and many conversations here on this radio show with different participants in the juvenile justice system are, you know, we're indicating that we just have more and more intense criminal activity coming from under 18 year olds. Would you concur with that, what you're seeing?
Absolutely. The statistics bear it out.
Okay.
And I think that's why for the last 2 years we've been discussing that the additional ARP officers and bringing back the juvenile unit is something we've been pressing. The juvenile detective unit restarted on January 1st. And in the first quarter, they've done a tremendous amount of work. And I think as the year goes on, that we hope to see the statistics show that what great work they're doing.
So basically, you get the detectives engaged, you get a caller, and you see a direct response to maybe, you know, well, that one is no longer able to be a perpetrator.
Well, by holding them accountable for the crime that they committed, whether it's juvenile placement or a diversion program, we're trying to get that kid back online so that his future is to be a productive citizen. When we weren't addressing those as frequently because of the lack of resources, we saw the numbers expand. We're hoping starting next year that we're going to see those numbers go down.
That's remarkable. Let's be specific here. You brought a lot of charts and graphs. Let's stay with juveniles for now. What can you show us about the types of crimes and where they've been going into 2022? And you actually have some first quarter numbers too.
I've got some first quarter numbers here too. I didn't break down anything out of the juvenile on these, but you know, the obviously the thefts are always a big thing. The kids walking around at night, getting into cars that are unlocked. You know, occasionally they even start breaking into the cars that are locked.
Uh-huh.
That's where we see a lot of our guns stolen, because they're being left in cars. Sometimes the owners forget to lock their car doors. That's the easiest way for these kids to get their hands on guns. So we do recommend, don't leave your gun in the car. Take it in, lock it up in the house. You're keeping your family safe. You're keeping your community safe.
That we've been talking a lot about this, and again, this is just more of an editorial comment. But if a gun is unattended in a vehicle, is there anything on the books that would make that gun owner liable for some kind of a against some kind of an ordinance that way? I feel like we've got to hold the owner somewhat accountable for this.
Well, there's no direct.
There is nothing on the books.
No.
Okay. All right. That's just something that we're discussing here, because again, if it's one thing if you're a conscientious gun owner and you have it locked and you have the bullets separated and all that stuff that you're supposed to do, and it's another just like you say, just leaving it out there, you're just kind of begging for somebody to steal that thing. So there's a lot of theft. Do you have retail theft involved? Do you have an idea of what's going on with retail theft?
Well, for the purpose of this data I have here, it's all combined into one category of theft. There might be 30 different types of theft.
Is it really?
I mean, library theft, theft from autos. There's so many. We just kind of combine it into the one general.
Well, use your expertise for a second here. What we're seeing in some of these large cities are basically gangs of people going into, let's say, a CVS or a Walmart with garbage bags, and they're hauling stuff out and kind of running unimpeded out the door. We don't see that here in Erie, PA.
No, we haven't. Thank goodness. I've seen those.
Have you seen those videos?
I've seen the videos. They're scary. One of the good things we've got is we're a large small town, so with the video cameras that are out there and stuff, they're taking a big chance of getting caught.
So. Okay. So, and more than likely that's something that we would prosecute as opposed to something that we would just let go. That kind of almost like a syndicate of shoplifting.
Well, in a large city, it might be harder to identify those actors.
Okay.
We're a small town, really. And if we get a video, we can generally find out who that person is by just passing that picture around a little bit.
Little rabbit trail here. We've talked about videos. I mean, your detectives have really been able to solve a lot of cases based on surveillance cameras. What's your recommendation for Erie Citizen about, let's say, having a Ring camera or some kind of an outdoor cam?
Well, I'd love if everyone had them, but I understand not everybody can get it or afford it. But when people do, they're protecting their neighbors. They're protecting their neighborhood. The amount of crime that we've solved recently because of the video has been fantastic. The district attorney's office has a program that they're doing, asking people to register their videos. And all it means is you're letting the DA know that you have a camera that points out on the street in front of your house. This way, if the police have a crime, we can go to their database and say, hey, so-and-so has a camera on that block. Here's their phone number and email. Now the officer's not wasting time going out, walking up and down
knocking
the block
on doors. Right.
They can get it right off the computer.
Okay.
It's really helping.
All right. Well, so something to take note of here. All righty. So we talked about thefts. What's the next bullet point there?
Well, thefts, robberies, overall, they're pretty steady.
Okay.
For the last 3 years, our shots fired started going down a little bit over the last 3 years, and then the first quarter of this year, our shots fired have been cut in half.
Wow. Okay.
And I think that's attributable to all the crime, the violent crimes, the gun shooting cases that we've solved. I mean, we're at 90% this year, 9 out of 10. Last year, we had 62. We have at least 31 of them closed, and we're still working on those. So that 50% last year, that closed number is going to go up higher, and I think that's making an effect.
And would you attribute that to a renewed investment in your CI division?
Yeah, the detectives are doing wonderful, and now that we have juvenile detectives concentrating on some of that stuff too, it's just it's multiplying the good results.
Mayor, weigh in on this, because again, public safety is very expensive, but detectives being able to solve crimes actually can have an impact on the level of criminal activity in town.
Absolutely. That can definitely have a big impact. When crimes are solved, we're taking some of the criminals off the street, and others hear about that and think, well, I shouldn't take a chance. I'm going to end up in jail. So that's a big help for sure.
Chief, we're going through stats, and you were showing me off air there. Firearms, again, a lot of concern about firearms. And most of the firearms that you're recovering are pistols, right? They're sidearms. Do you find that you're recovering a lot of, let's say, what would be called an assault weapon?
We do occasionally get them. There have been a handful already this year, but the vast majority, we're talking handguns.
Yeah. So talk about what you're finding, because you're actually you have a strategy to recover these, right?
Right. We've been averaging approximately about 130, 140 guns a year stolen the last 3 years. But we're recovering between 260 to just over 300 guns each year. And that's because we have we're partnered with the district attorney's office. We've got money for violence reduction, gun crimes. We're putting extra patrols out. They're following up on every gun report, whether it's a stolen gun, shots being fired, or somebody being shot.
Mm-hmm.
We're making a huge focus on that violent crime, doing all we can to bring those numbers down. And we're just recovering more guns that are stolen in the city of Erie.
Talk about use of guns, or obviously it's an illicit use of gun when you're pointing a gun at somebody. And we hear these stories about homes getting shot up or, actual gunplay. We had that horrible incident on the west side where a gang was shooting at both EPD and PSP officers. Those are the kinds of the things that get headlines, obviously, as they should. What are you finding? Are you seeing any kind of movement on those big situations of gunplay?
Well, we've been doing a great job of pulling the videos that are out there, tying the ballistics reports that we get back from the ATF, and making cases that, you know, this gun is being used here, here, and there. And when we finally caught it, it was in this person's hands. And then we backtrack. We can look and see where was he the night of this crime. And what we're doing is we're catching people not for one crime, but we're finding a string of crimes we're attaching to them. And again, I think in the long run, this is going to pay off. Once we get this violence, then people are going to feel safe in their neighborhoods, and the perception will come back that Erie is a safe city.
What kind of metric are you guys watching when it comes to that level of gunplay? You'll never be able to eliminate it, but what are you looking for as far as levels of gun violence? I guess is the question.
You know, when I was a detective in the early 2000s, if we had one person shot a month, that was pretty much normal for several years. And then it's risen now to where we're getting 60, 70 people shot a year. So over one a week. I don't see there's any reason why we can't get back to the one a month. I think that would be a fantastic improvement.
That gives us a good perspective, you know, of, okay, this is what things used to be like, and here's where we're at right now. All righty, let's talk about some of the other statistics that you have there in front of you there.
Well, auto theft has been just a slight rise. We have a detective that's on a grant that does auto
theft. Are you seeing a lot of the catalytic converter deals around here?
Yes, they happen quite frequently. Sometimes it's just one or two in a week. Sometimes it might be 10 or 12 in a week.
Really?
It's a national problem.
Right.
It's difficult. It's so easy to do, so quick. Except the person has to have a way to get rid of those precious metals. They have to have a contact. And whether it's here in Erie or outside the area, those are the things that we have to keep investigating.
It seems like they're almost like roving gangs from city to city that are coming in, seeing where the low-hanging fruit are and then moving along. I mean, is that accurate, or is there some homegrown of this stuff?
Well, there have been a few homegrown. There have been a couple that we've been able to identify and arrest. But there's a lot of them that go unsolved. And again, it's a national phenomenon.
I would think that the local junkyards or the salvage places are on the lookout for this stuff.
Well, right, because there's not a lot of places that can deal with those precious metals in there.
So interesting.
It's a tough one.
it's like just when you thought you figured out criminals come up with something else to get you worried about. So car thefts are kind of at a normal level there, you think? Or is there anything that you could teach the public when it comes to that? I mean, is there something there?
Don't leave your spare key in the car.
Okay.
Yeah. Lock your car.
Yeah.
And don't leave the keys in it running to warm it up in the winter.
Those
are the easy, just somebody walking down the street sees a car sitting there running with keys in it, and they don't feel like walking. They're going to take the car. And we're averaging about 150 car thefts a year. So on 365 days, almost every other day, there's a car being stolen. And a lot more of them happen during the winter because they're out there running. Yeah. You know, you go to the convenience store, you run in, but you left the car keys in it.
You know, Mayor, my wife loves her remote starter, but it locks the door before it'll start. Right. Just no like yours, right? I mean, there's no key involved.
Absolutely.
So I think that, you know, that's probably okay.
Yeah, yes.
any particular car that, I mean, wasn't it always like the Honda Accord that was like the number one stolen car? I don't know if there's a thing.
For years was a high
or a Camry, right?
High number.
Yeah.
Because there were so many of them.
Yeah.
They dominated the car sales, and people took advantage of it.
Wow. We've got about 2 minutes. Let's get to one more data point before we go to the break here. What do you think? So theft, you're seeing an uptick on theft? Is that what we already talked about?
Yeah, we did that one. Slightly there. Here's two quick things. Domestic disturbances in the first quarter of the year.
Okay.
we're seeing a decrease. We saw COVID was very high.
Yes.
And since then, the numbers are going down. So that's a good trend that we like.
What about domestic homicides? Remember we had talked about that early on, that we had really knocked down, especially at the beginning of Unified Erie, we had really knocked down a lot of the gun-related deaths, but the domestics were up. So any clue where we're at these days?
Much better. I think the one year we may have had maybe five incidents of domestic homicide, but we have those numbers have gone way down. There might be one, maybe two a year.
Okay.
So we're doing a lot better there.
Gotcha. Gotcha. The and I'm looking at sex crimes. What that seems to be
sex
problematic,
crimes,
huh?
Yeah, we've got a our rapes are on the way down, but our sex offenses, for some reason last year they spiked and it doubled. It doubled well over 100 to over 200 now, and that's the one category that was unexpected. And it's unknown still.
Do you have any vice specialists that would deal with that kind of issue on the force?
Well, the detectives are looking at it to see if we can find out what the common denominator is there.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, we really don't know. It's just, it's one of those statistics that just, we're digging in deeper to get an answer.
All righty. All right, we're talking to the chief. We're talking to the mayor here. It's the Joel Natale Show on a Friday, our Monday a monthly meeting with the mayor. Mayor, we're all learning something today.
Absolutely. I'm learning too, listening to
I mean, it's incredible. And again, we want to be clear-eyed about these things because I feel like there are reasons for hope and optimism. Yes. I mean, we want to believe in our city, yet we've got to be understanding of what our challenges are.
Yeah. And, you know, we've allocated quite a bit of ARP money to bring in new police officers to take the place of existing police officers on the street so they can work on the things we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And that'll be paid at least through 2026. So we're really looking forward to, we're really working hard trying to bring down crime in Erie.
One of the callers, Chief, is asking about racial breakdown. That's not really how you guys analyze crime statistics, right? I mean.
Correct, yeah. We're looking at adults and juveniles and the individual suspects, you know, we're not doing it by category. No.
Right. I mean, there's just no reason to. Let's move forward here and talk about the relation of drugs, drug addiction, the prevalence of opioids, fentanyl, and what you see on the street with crime.
Well, our department got a COSAP grant, and this is a little bit different for a police department to be doing this. But let me give you some statistics here on opioids. And in 2021, there were 246 overdoses reported in the city, resulting in 35 deaths. And in 2022, we had 286 overdoses, 54 deaths. Wow. And those are just city numbers.
Mm.
This year in the first quarter, we were already to 64 overdoses with 7 deaths. So we're on par where we've been.
Looks like we have a better survival rate almost, you know, I mean, a little bit better.
It's tough to call on just the first quarter.
Right.
But, you know, this is not only just happening in the area and the surrounding communities, but it's across the country.
We're hearing about different drugs coming in, too. Now there's another one other than fentanyl that seems to be another animal sedative. Trank,
carfentanil. There's so many different versions of drugs out there.
Yeah.
People never seem to get bored of trying something new.
Oh, my.
But, you know, we're seeing these tremendous amounts of deaths every year. And we have our drug unit. We work with the Eagle Task Force, the federal task force here in town, and we're committed 100% to going after these dealers, the suppliers of the drugs. But what we've done on the actual user side is we're made a little change here. We got a COSAP grant last year, And what we're doing is now we're reaching out to these overdose victims, and we're making sure that they're aware of all the services that are available. We give them a list. We go meet up with them a few days later, tell them that, hey, we'd like you to get help, and here are the providers that are out there. And, you know, we've even given one of them, he was ready to go right then. He was given a ride right to treatment. And we've checked with some of the treatment centers, and they're telling us that, hey, our outreach is working. Some of these people, not all, but some of them are showing up. And that's what we want. These are the street users. They're not the violent people. They're not the ones selling the drugs, bringing them to our community. But they're the unfortunate ones that are hooked on them.
Yeah.
So by doing this, we're hoping to maybe reduce that desire or the market in Erie.
Sure.
By getting less people hooked on the drugs or using them. You know, maybe some of these dealers will want to go somewhere else. But we'll gladly lock them up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they definitely have some choices there. I want to talk about some of the solution sides of things. But before we do that, I just want to get your expertise, and both you and the mayor weigh in on this. The mayor and I have had a couple conversations about quality of life type of issues here. We're noticing a significant increase in panhandling and even in aggressive panhandling and homelessness. What is EPD's role in all of that, and what should be the issue, you know, what social services should be handling with, let's say, homelessness and panhandling and so on?
Yeah, it's a fine line. There's a lot of people very passionate on either side of this, whether the police should be involved or not. My opinion is when it becomes a crime, when they are assaulting or violently approaching these people, you know, that's something that we should be involved in. If they're just simply walking up and down the street, that's not our point. For the police department, we're expanding our bicycle unit. We'll have more patrols in the downtown. We've been only doing a Monday through Friday for years. We're adding another element, so now we're going to have them 7 days a week. We're looking at, we got a grant to bring in electric bikes so that the officers can go a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got to pedal all the way down to the dock for a call, and then you got to pedal upstate all the way.
That's a lot.
It takes a little bit out of you. So yeah. These electric bikes have a little bit of an assist. So the officers will have a further range.
Yeah.
And our big thing here in May, we'll be unveiling the restart of our crisis car.
Okay, what is it? That's for kind of mental crises?
The crisis car is going to deal with the domestic violence. It's going to deal with mental health work, with homelessness. There's a connection between those and substance abuse where, you know, when all four of those come together, you have somebody homeless with a mental health problem, on drugs. It's difficult. This unit is going to be training with our local services, and they're going to utilize that training to help approach the people on the street. You know, maybe we'll see somebody, he's not bothering anybody, but he's yelling at the sky for no reason.
Yeah.
And if these guys can go, or officers can go approach them, find out who maybe they're, you know, if they have a counselor, put them in touch and let them know, hey, Joe's on, you know, on the street and he's not acting right. Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could see him. Sure, bring him in. Hey, would you want to go see your counselor? We'll get him in the car and take him right now.
Wow. Yeah.
Rather than say, well, you got an appointment in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to try to help people before they get into a manic problem.
It makes a lot of sense. Mayor, weigh in on this. I mean, there's, you know, you've heard about Rudolph Giuliani and the broken window theory and so on, taking care of some of these smaller things. Yes. What's your thoughts on all that?
There's a lot of problem with people on the street right now. And one of the things that there's a group in Erie, and it's a lot of different people involved, people that really care about this and want to make a difference, that are trying to put together, and I think we'll know within a month or two now, that where there'll be a home for these people, the people on the street. They're trying to create a home for 30 to 50 people who have been on the street more than a year. And for me, it's even hard to believe people have been living on the street for more than a year.
Exactly.
But we think there's probably about 149 of them, something like that. And this is a first step, because in the past, what's always happened is we never really cared about would they had a place to live. We were trying to solve their problems, their emotional problems. Well, there's a lot of emotional problems and things like that. But you can't solve the problems until you get them off the street. And they would not pay anything for this home. They're estimating that most people would probably stay in there 6 to 12 months until they took another step in the right direction of getting back to a more normal life. And at that point, they would rent a home or rent an apartment where they'd be able to live. And there would be people that would work for them while they're living in this. They would have their own room. It would be brand new. It would be very nice. But there's going to be people there working with them also. Because, again, people on the street, a lot of them have mental issues, and they're hard to deal with. But this puts them in a place where hopefully they'll be able to deal with it and move on. And that's something we hope to have in place. It's probably going
to... More permanent solutions to what you're dealing with.
It's actually it's a first step, at least a first step in a solution that we think could work. And it has worked in other cities. We know that for a fact.
One of our writers saying, kudos to EPD for treating drug users as people and not as criminals. Great job. So, yeah, I mean, again, understanding who the person you have in front of you is. You had a big announcement last year about the Burns Grant. Talk about that and where that the status of all that is, you know.
Yeah, the federal burn grant. We had one in Erie years ago, and it concentrated on the Little Italy area. It was concentrated patrols. We have that
grant. Do you have like a remote precinct for that kind of thing or not?
What we do is we take out our mobile precinct.
You do? Okay.
And we'll park it in a neighborhood. Officers will go out on foot, on bicycle, even in cars. We'll work with the sheriff's department, the juvenile probation, adult probation, even occasionally the state parole will come out with us. We'll walk the neighborhoods. We'll talk to the businesses and citizens. We'll look for the problems that they're afraid to call in, but they'll talk to you face-to-face about. The areas from 6th to 26th, from Holland to Wayne, it's basically the center of the east side of Erie. 10% of the population of the city lives there, but they experience 30% of the crime there.
Wow.
So there's a lot of work that we can do there. We'd like to partner with as many citizens, business owners, people who work in those neighborhoods. They're all affected by that crime in that neighborhood. So we take a multifaceted approach. Mercyhurst University's Civic Institute is our data analysts on this project. And we work with them in coming up with the strategies. One of those strategies will be the addition of a ShotSpotter.
Okay, talk about that, because people are asking about that. Yeah.
Now, ShotSpotter, we were able to get through a different grant, but it's going to cover most of this area there. And what we've done is, again, using data, we've researched where the most shootings have occurred, targeted that area. We have a grant to pay for ShotSpotter for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Basically, there are microphones that are put around the city in a certain area. They can detect gunshots. As soon as that gunshot goes off, it's going through a process that takes less than 45 seconds. They'll determine that it was a gunshot, not just a dumpster or a firework.
Right.
They'll send that call immediately to the police or dispatched instantaneous. We were down in Pittsburgh, a couple of us, the district attorney and one of my deputies, we went down. We saw this in work in Pittsburgh in some of their worst neighborhoods, and it's really helped them. Recently, they had a report of a gunshot that nobody called in. The neighbors in that neighborhood gotten so attuned to blocking it out, thinking, well, somebody else is calling, or I don't want to be involved. Mm-hmm. So this brought the police. The police got there, and they were able to find a victim and get him to the hospital before he died.
Goodness.
So stories like that are just a success. We hope it works just as well here. We have it paid for 2 years. We'll determine how well it works for us. We'll use the data And then in 2 years, I might be asking the mayor for some more money. But, you know, if it saves lives, it makes the city safe.
Well worth it. Absolutely.
When you consider going into the summer months, you know, we have this tendency every once in a while to have a lot of people gathering. And there's this perception, again, it's a perception that's out there, that there are certain locations in the city of Erie that are no-go zones for officers. Is that an inaccurate statement?
Yeah, that'd be inaccurate. I'm not aware of anywhere in the city that my officers won't go patrol. There are neighborhoods that are a little bit harder to, and they understand that there's maybe a block or two where a lot of people in the block may not want to see police.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, they understand that there's vastly more law-abiding citizens that want to remain safe. So, no, we're not worried about any one particular neighborhood.
Let's talk about your work with the school district's police force. And, you know, there was the Erie Times News is calling a riot at Erie High that kind of was led to a shooting at Columbus Park. I grew up in that neighborhood in Columbus. You know, I mean, it's kind of hard to hear about. But how's that interagency stuff work for you guys?
It's been good. The director of public safety or safety for the school district, Matt Parker, and I and my staff, you know, we're in contact almost every week about issues. Our intelligence unit shares information with them. We know that sometimes the crimes and things happening in this on the city streets sometimes go into the school, and sometimes some of the stuff in the school flow out into the street.
Yeah.
So it's a two-way communication between the school and the police department, so that we can concentrate on where there might be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mayor, we're going to have to bring this plane in for landing about 3 minutes here. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in as you know, you're in your second term halfway through and you're setting the tone of your core values of your administration and so on. Mm-hmm. When you look at public safety, talk about the alignment there with what you're trying to accomplish with Erie.
I don't think anything is more important to me or anyone on my team than creating public safety. Yeah. And I'm really proud of Chief and his men and what they're doing, and women too. By the way, we are trying to get more minorities and more women into the police force. In fact, in the last 18 months, about 37% of the hires have been minorities or women. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong in this, Chief, but earlier this year, we thought we were going to have to hire 10 new police officers this year. Now, that number has gone up a little, but of the first 10 on our list from the tests they took, six of them were minorities or women. And the first couple of years, we got a little frustrated because we wanted to bring in minorities and women, and we weren't doing it. Now that's turned around, and I'm really proud of that. Feel really good about that. I think I want everybody in Erie to be able to see somebody in the police force that looks like them,
right?
So that they don't feel like this is only white people.
And are you able to attract a lot of ex-military? I mean, people that are getting the points and so on, or?
Well, there's quite a few in the military. About 40% of our department has prior military experience, but 60% doesn't.
That's interesting.
Our recruiting officer, though, does target.
Well, you get points. You get social
10 points.
Yeah, you get the 10 points. Yeah. But he's been doing a great job. We realize that in order to bring more minorities on the department, the first step was we got to get them to take the test.
Yeah.
So we've really concentrated on getting them to come take the test. And that's the thing. We've not lowered any standards.
Mm-hmm.
We've not given out any bonuses to anybody else. We said, here's the standards. Come and join us. It's a great paying job. It's a family sustaining wage. Yeah. And really the work is important. It's critically important to the city.
Right. Yeah. We just like as we talk about greater economic development things, we have to have this place be attractive enough to have the, you know, whether they're ex-military or just people that are inclined for public service to be drawn to the city to work, which is a tough but a rewarding job, you know?
Yes.
And so, you're competing with some of the other law enforcement agencies that may be a little less stressful. Is that accurate? I don't know. I mean, I think it's a stressful job altogether, you know. But there, it's different types of stress depending on where you're where you're operating, right?
Based on size, yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. Well, I appreciate both of you for taking the time. What's big on the agenda for going into May here, Mayor?
Well, one thing I want to point out is tomorrow we have a drug take-back day on Saturday, April 22nd, and this will run from 10 to 3 right at City Hall. You just come in the main entrance, City Hall, right?
10 to 2.
10 to 2, I'm sorry. 10 to 10 2. It's 4 hours. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. The lobby doors will be open. You come in there. And, you know, if you're anything like me, we end up getting a lot of medicine building up in our
medicine cabinet. Yeah.
Yes. And we've gone through it all. I've got a ton of it I'm going to be bringing down.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, we were saying earlier that, you know, you might have some dental work done and they give you hydrocodone and you only take 3 or 4 courses of that and you've got a full bottle left, you know. You don't want that laying around.
You don't want around where a younger kid can see it and try it and do something bad to themselves. So, absolutely.
All righty. I appreciate that. Sure. Chief Dan Spizzarni, Mayor Joe Schember, thank you, gentlemen, very, very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@TalkErie.com.